Hear these words from a portion of Paul's letter to the Philippians from chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The first three words of the hymn that you and I just sang are surprising and even shocking. Rise to arms. What, during our break now, are we supposed to carry on Christian jihad? Are we supposed to be like Peter after all in the Garden of Gethsemane and grab a sword and start hacking at the enemy? Are we supposed to be like the Crusaders and fight our way with bloody swords to Jerusalem? Are we supposed to gang up as a group of Christians and go to Washington and insist on our way and that Christians have better rights? It's true that we are engaged in warfare. There's no question about that. And we know that we're engaged in a three-front warfare. First of all, we're in a fight against our old nature. Every day and even right now, we're involved in a battle. He raises his ugly head, that old nature, the one who likes greed and lust and revenge and hate and all those things. He raises his ugly head. And the things that we as Christians don't want to do, we do. And the things that we want to do, we don't do. And if that old ugly nature gets his way, we lose our faith. We're obviously involved in a warfare within our very selves. Second front of our warfare is against Satan, that old wily serpent. And you and I know that we are on his prey list, not on his prayer list, but on his prey list. He would love to have us in his camp. Here's a obvious statement. 100% of the people who have been bitten by snakes have been close enough to be bitten by them. Well, Satan is close to us all the time, and we are in a fight against him. Luther felt the presence of Satan in his presence constantly, and we need help. We're in a battle. And we're in a warfare against the world. I heard just recently Bill Maher, the TV personality, just mocking Jesus. The saying that Christians simply invented a Jesus in the first century, mocking your faith. Stephen Hawking mocks the idea of a God. Creation doesn't need a God for its existence. It can come out of nothing. And Richard Dawkins publicly just berates the idea of a cross, a man dying on the cross and paying for sins. So certainly we are in a battle in warfare against the world around us also. So battles we're in, no question about that. And the city of Philippi, to which Paul is writing, was known for warfare also. About 90 years before Paul first visited Philippi, there was a famous battle there. Antony and Augustus were avenging the assassination of Julius Caesar, and they attacked the armies of Brutus and Cassius, so just outside Philippi, known for war. It was a home of many soldiers. There were Roman guards seen around town often. And Paul was involved in hostile activity at Philippi. Of course he was. He was beaten. He was thrown in jail with Silas. He was put in stocks. And he knew what warfare was all about personally. the enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So yes, lots of warfare associated with our lives and with the life of Paul. So we would expect to hear things like, so grab your guns and swords and uniforms and let's go fight. We'd expect Paul to say something like, I don't have to take that abuse that I received in your city. Let's gang up and do something about this. But instead, we hear in our text totally different characteristics of people who are at war. Ever so briefly, let us look at the five characteristics which our text lays out, characteristics, God-given characteristics of Christians involved in warfare. The first one is perhaps the most striking, joy. Joy instead of swords and guns and revenge, joy. The whole epistle that Paul writes to the Philippians is filled with joy. The term is mentioned some 16 times. And notice that this is not some baseless joy, a shallow sort of thing, but it is joy in the Lord, as Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if we didn't hear him the first time, if we didn't catch it, if we think that warfare means something else for us, he says, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Joy is your first characteristic as one at war. And why shouldn't you rejoice? The one who battled for you, the one who won the battle for you, his bones are not in some cave in Jerusalem. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Joy is your rightful characteristic. So let the Buddhists drone on in their hopeless chants and a situation leading to one reincarnation after another. Let them carry on in that way. Let your tone be that of Christian joy. Paul could even sing in prison in his joy. And what hymn did we sing and what style did he sing it in? That we don't know, but he includes in his epistle to the Philippians what evidently was an early Christian hymn, and it goes like this. You know it quite well. Talking about Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and so forth. Was that the hymn that Paul sang in prison at Philippi? Is that what he sang in joy? Perhaps, and if it wasn't that hymn, it was something like it with great content. Your second characteristic is that of gentleness. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness in the middle of war? What sense does that make? First century Roman Greek world despised the attribute of humility. Power, might, arrogance is something to look up to. But gentleness? No, but yet that is your characteristic in your war. It's a term that, the Greek term, it's hard to put in one word. Another translation calls it big-heartedness. Or still another one, reasonableness. Let your big-heartedness, your gentleness, your reasonableness be known to all people. Be gentle. Don't return evil for evil. Return evil with good is the idea. Jesus, in the very hymn that we just quoted, is one who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And there Paul is in prison in Philippi, being humble as he sings and he prays. His hands and feet are in stocks. He's in jail, and yet he carries on in a gentle manner. could have been a lot different if he carried on in a revengeful spirit. But people saw the way he carried on. They heard his prayers and they heard his hymns. And a jailer finally said, "What must I do to be saved? What does this man have? How did he arrive at salvation?" And Paul could speak to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved," because of his gentle way of dealing with the world around him. How about you as an athlete? Is gentleness, big-heartedness, part of your characteristic in victory or in loss? The motto of our athletic department is "Do all to the glory of God," and gentleness is God's will for us in our warfare and even our athletic battles. Another characteristic is waiting for the Lord. Jesus is returning. Jesus is returning. The final victory will be laid out before us. It will be clear to all the world who the victor is. Your citizenship is in heaven now. You're waiting for your Savior, and he will take you there in the proper time. That is your characteristic as you battle on. Therefore, the early Christians said, "Maranatha, the Lord comes. He's coming, he's coming." And they could greet one another in that expectant expression of greeting. Prayer is another characteristic. It's listed in our text as the opposite of anxiousness. Living in anxiety is the opposite of a prayer-filled life. And notice the kind of prayer-filled life. Prayer with thanksgiving. Start with thanks. A classmate of mine used this expression. He said, "A prayer without thanksgiving is like a bird without wings. It has trouble rising upward." Start with the good things that you know God has already given you, and let your prayers begin with thanksgiving, and then pour out your supplications before him. Finally, there's a surprising twist at the end of our text in another military term. There is a term that means guard, and to guard strongly. And the people at Philippi knew about Roman guards standing around. They could see them in the streets. But what guards you as a Christian? What's your characteristic? You are guarded by what? By the peace of God. By the peace of God. You're guarded by knowing that God has already established peace through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he lived for you, he died for you, he is alive, he is your advocate. You are at peace, and let this peace then guard your hearts and your minds, lead you to noble thoughts, good thoughts, high thoughts, gospel thoughts. The characteristics of Christians at warfare: joy, gentleness, waiting, prayer, and being guarded by God's peace. Let us arise and pray in the spirit of our text.